We are speaking with DeKalb Asgrow technical agronomist Jason Harmon, who covers Northwest Indiana for DeKalb, and that's what we want to focus on, how the season went for corn harvest and, of course, during the growing season, which led up to harvest in your part of the state. Jason, good to talk with you. Give us an overview of how things ended up.
Sounds great. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, this was one of those years where we had a lot of hurdles thrown at us, as we always do. But I think this year was kind of unique in the fact that we started out pretty normal. I'd say we're pretty normal with our planting dates. That last week of April, first week of May, a lot of acres of corn got put in the ground. We didn't have that early opportunity like we normally do, but like a lot of that planting did go in a timely manner and in good soil conditions. So we started off, I'd say, pretty normal. And then we get into June and July, and we just start getting hit hard with some extreme heats and just enough moisture to get us through. So it was pretty tough to watch our corn have to suffer a little bit as we went through June and July, and that GDU accumulation was extreme. We get into August, and it's a little bit the same, but then that last week of August into, well, last 2 weeks of August, we actually got a nice cold front that came through, and I think a lot of that saved our corn from going to the finish line too fast. And we were way ahead on GDUs till that time, and then we caught right back to the normal. So it was pretty interesting to see how the temperatures were so fluctuating this year. So going into harvest corn, expectations were kind of mixed. And doing kernel counts and everything, I felt like we were there. We had a good stand, a number of ears, a number of kernels, but we couldn't decide on the kernel depth. What was that going to be for that factor to divide by, to find out how many bushels we're going to see per acre? And then as harvest rolled in, it kind of just stayed extremely dry and decently warm, and the grain dried down very fast, and we were able to see some pretty decent yields. I think many farmers are pretty pleased with what they were able to get out of that field and for the year that it went through. So I think it was one of those years that kind of made us sit back and figure out, how did this happen?
Well, one of the ways it happened was great DeKalb products, and you've got obviously a great lineup as it stands right now, but that never slows down. That never stays static. You've got new things being introduced for farmers next year too, I hear.
That's exactly right, Andy. It's such a honor to be able to work for a company where we have such a vast breeding portfolio that's able to bring us new products year in, year out. Some people get so used to a product they don't want to give it up, but when we got something better and got a fix maybe, or a little bit of an advantage over what we historically utilized, we got to start running with it. And we've got a strong testing footprint that we'll put these out in the farms. We do a lot of these market development plots where we're putting those out in these fields, doing acre entries, testing it on their soil types, their management, and just seeing how they're performing as a new option for 2026 to be able to grow. And we got this new one, 11303. It's a SmartStax Pro product, so it does give us superior protection above and below ground. But man, the genetics behind this one looks so good coming out of pre-commercial breeding. And then we throw it out in the real world, and I was very impressed with its overall performance. It's definitely going to be a product I'm going to want guys to think about as they go into 26. We also, on the early side, we got a new 103-day that just really came through, 10363. It's one of those products we've been needing in that early RM set to be able to go out there, and guys want to start early, it's an option. And then we've had some real tried and trues to test against with like 5626 that just really rung the bell when we got these hot temperatures. Its drought tolerance came through shining. And then just to throw one more out there, we got 11212 from last year that really proved itself 2 years running. Best roots in the business, can handle some wet feet, which we didn't see a lot of, but handles itself also when it's really dry. So it's nice to have these new products to add in the mix, a nice RM spread. There's just so many options. Some guys I get in trouble because I don't want too many hybrids on their farm, but if we could go field to field, I could choose the hybrid.
And these products aren't just available in 2026. They have been out there, and you've seen some proven results, I assume.
That is correct. We as on the agronomist side, we get to see 4 years pre-commercially how they performed against our sets. And then we get to bring it out when we put it in our DeKalb bag forever. And we get to test it in a lot of different situations across northern Indiana. And that's where we gain that confidence to tell somebody, hey, you should take a look at this brand new product. Even though they've never seen it, they need to take a look at it because it's doing well in their geography where we tested it.
Talk about, as well, the Bayer Crop Science Innovative New Product Pipeline.
Yeah, this is a fun time of my career, Andy. There's so many good options coming out of so many different things, whether it's Preceon short stature corn to new seed treatments to different traits to these new genetics. There's so much that's fun to just test and learn and see how it's going to fit. And I mean, I'm going to highlight that Preceon short stature corn. Northern Indiana has been a testing ground for the last 3 years, and we have grown our footprint tremendously because many growers are seeing the advantages to having a shorter stature corn, the spring and yield potential that's really shocking them on their soil types. And it's really nice to have a plant type that we can handle these winds late in the harvest. We can also see an increased potential for yield just by having more plants out there and not worrying about them falling over. And we got this new 60 class, so the last two digits are 60, whether it's 11060 or 11360, that just really impressed me with their overall genetic yield potential. And then you throw in that we got a new seed treatment that's called N314. N314 is a systemic nematode activity for our corn. We think a lot about soybean cyst nematode in the Asgrow line, but when we think about corn, there's still a lot of nematode damage that can be had with dagger or lance type of nematodes. So we're now starting to protect our plants on the corn side with a nematicide as well. So pretty neat to see all these added benefits that will just add yield potential for the growers.
What do you think, Jason, the future holds for that short stature corn?
I think it's tremendous. As an agronomist, it's a dream. I mean, when we can have such a yield potential out there and not worry about agronomic issues such as standability, you throw in the access piece, being able to go across there in a dry year like this, guys saw the reward of a fungicide upwards of 25 bushel per acre. Just because we had southern rust come in so late, especially in my northern area, which we don't see very often. We always are seeing tar spot. We just don't know when it is. But if you can make that decision and go out there with a ground rig, a drone, or an airplane and easily get across there, it makes a big difference just having that access and doing a good job with that application.
All right. Good update on what happened this year and what is off in the future as well from Jason Harmon, covering Northwest Indiana, DeKalb Asgrow Technical Agronomist. Jason, we appreciate the info today.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate the time.